Okay, so that's recording. And that's recording too. And I'm just going to do a little clap. Hello. Hello, hello. Hello. No worries. I am so sorry
about the recording.
About fucking up the recording.
No, it's no worries. It was good. It brought us together as a pasta gang, which is the important thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it,
and I did too.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed everyone joining, and but oh my god, I couldn't believe it. Especially since I fixed one thing and I didn't fix another thing.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely sorry.
It's okay, like these things happen. These things happen. You know, nothing is forever, nothing's permanent. So
that's what people keep telling me, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
And now we have a mystical podcast episode that we can just keep referring to.
So this is this is episode 5 now.
Okay, nice.
Last one was episode 4, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I need to catch up on the other episodes. I missed 1 through 3.
No, I mean, like, that's it's barely a series, you know, like it's just people randomly recording. Like, one of them was Lucy, Hannes, and Mags just realized they were chatting about Pasta Gang things, so they like started recording, you know what I mean?
Very nice.
So it's very impromptu. And I should double check that I am recording now.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the stupid. Okay, we have lots to talk about.
We do.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Were you wanting to just start from fresh? Because I'm happy to do that. Or we can also touch on things we spoke about last time.
I would love to go through some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah, I'm happy to.
In less of a rush, and we just see like where we end up.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, sounds fun.
Because I think we sort of skimmed over a bunch of stuff because we were just, you know, getting through it.
Mm-hmm. But I might actually grab a notebook. I feel like it's good to have something to like just write down.
Yeah, go for it.
I just want to talk. Yeah,
go for it. Yeah.
Just a sec.
Cool.
We are back.
Hey. So I don't know if you have any preferences of how we do it, but like
I'm happy with happy for you to lead the way.
Sure.
Yeah, if you don't mind, that is.
Oh no, absolutely, all good. I think going through like specific points was good though, you know?
For sure.
So like for me, I think the first point, you know, I have some points noted down. Mm-hmm. But the first point is just like the elephant in the room that we already did a podcast episode.
We did.
For the Pasta Gang birthday stream event. And I do so many podcasty things like as part of my job and part of stuff around my job. And in my entire life, I have never failed to record things properly. And so that was the first time in my life where I fucked it up. And I think this, it's kind of weird because like it's probably because like in my head, like I had the streaming set up ready, and that really confused me.
Oh, I see.
But I think the main thing is that like, because it was a Pasta Gang thing, I thought like, oh, you can just wing it more. And it turns out like you can't actually wing it more. And I'm still paranoid that I'm... Yeah, we're still recording.
Okay.
We got
Listen,
some backups. But
it's okay.
it was funny because I realized like during the jam, and I like typed it in, and some people were like, "You gotta let code die, you know, like it doesn't matter, it makes it more beautiful." And I'm like, yeah, like, but I still find it hard to some, you know, like when you have like a you perform do one performance that you're like really pleased with, and it doesn't get recorded, or like doesn't get recorded in the way you want, or something like that. It's still like, oh, I wish I could capture and share it. Like, do you get that too? Like with your stuff?
I do think, like, it's funny you say that, because a lot of my my gigs I've done recently, either they get like everyone recording it, and I feel like the gig didn't go well. The gig goes amazing, and no one took like any videos, and I'm like, it's a little bit like it's a little bit frustrating, definitely. But I think something like I learned really early on was I did my first ever like strudel, that's Hydra thing. It was more Hydra actually, because I was mainly playing acoustic songs, and then I had like live reactive visuals. I made them all on Flock. I didn't realize Flock just like wipes after a while, so I was just saving all my patterns in Flock, and I go on one day and it's just like gone. I'm like, damn. And then I was like, now I can just make new stuff, and those it kind of makes it special in a way. Like I have photos of it. It happened. It existed. But I'll never make anything exactly the same. I think that's kind of beautiful in its own way.
I think so. Like, obviously, a lot of pasta going stuff gets recorded, I think, as a sort of souvenir, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But like, there are specific like times like that I just like no one was even thinking about recording, and it was just like such like special moments, or like the stars aligned and everyone was in sync somehow,
That's
and
true.
they stick with me, yeah, even more than the recorded ones, I think.
That's a good point, because how often do you listen to like the ones that are recorded?
I listen to them a creepy amount. This is the weird thing. Like, I find it a bit weird. Like, I'm like, I'm not sure if I should be doing that, because I've always made music, but like listening to music that's just by me is weird. It's like reading a book that I've written. It's like, what's the point? I already know it, you know? Like, it's like listening to my own voice. It's like, why would I do that? But so obviously I listen to a lot of music made by other people, but Pasta Gang music is kind of in this weird middle ground where it's like I did some part of it often, but most of it was done by other people. But it feels like it ends up being like exactly the kind of music I want to listen to, because I was able to like influence it in a little bit of a way, but then it still has the otherly feeling, you know what I mean?
That's very interesting. Have you ever like done other like non-pasta gang jams, like with like instruments or even like electronic jams?
When I was younger, I did a lot of just jamming with instruments around friends' house. It was like, hey, you want to come around and jam? Yeah, like I'll bring a guitar or a ukulele or even a trumpet or a keyboard, and we'd jam, but we'd never record anything. Like, I think it was actually stupid. Like, we thought if we just jam hard enough, we'll be able to like make a studio song, you know? Like, and like we'd start to try and do that, and it would just like die, like lose all the magic, you know, of the jam.
I hear you, I hear you.
Yeah.
I had a jam last night, and I had
Nice,
a
nice.
studio time today, so I've seen the two sides, and I know which
What's
one I prefer.
your take? What's your wisdom?
My wisdom is, I feel like jamming feels like the purest form of music to me, and music as like as a connection to other people. Because even when I've jammed with like non-musicians, they always, or we like the people who are musicians, try and make it so that they would feel comfortable enough to join in, and most of the time they do. I feel like it's just like jamming feels like a very unifying force, whereas being in the studio just feels like a bit like trying to make a final project or product, which to me music can be, but it's never the most fun in that like regard. That's why I like live coding. Like it's fun to me when it can change and when it can develop and when it never stops moving. When you're trying to make something like finished and polished, At least personally, it does like take a bit of the life out of it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, and I think that's what's also fun listening to like Pastigang recordings and like, you know, kind of the podcasts too. Like, as long as the recording does work, like it is very messy and it has all the refreshes and the crashes and stuff like that. And yeah, I feel like that you get in a real life jam as well, you know,
Yeah,
like
for sure.
sometimes it's like not actually good music to listen to, but it's like I find it a different kind of enjoyment, you know?
I agree. I agree. And at least in my jams, you'll have sections that aren't like, they might be very like dissonant and they're not very like in sync. And then you get a beautiful moment where things just like suddenly align and then you're locked in for a second or two. And it keeps going. And I think for me, that's like so much fun. That's a lot more fun to like than like getting a bunch of people in a room and like trying to come up with like the best song ever.
So what does that real, I mean, like still on this first point, I guess, but like what does that real life, what does a real world jam look like to you? Like how does, is it like, hey, hey, do you want to come over spontaneously, or how does it work?
It really depends, honestly. Like sometimes, like yesterday, I just ended up at a friend's house and they were like, "Oh, you know we have a drum kit." I was like, "What do you mean you have a drum kit?" And then before like I turned around and another one of my friends who played guitar had disappeared. I started hearing guitar coming from like the upstairs and then I was like, "Okay, I have to go up and like have to play some music." Or like it can be like a planned thing. Like I've been in several group chats that are just for jamming and I'll be like, "Hey, when are you guys free?" They're never free. But like it could be like that. Or it can even be like I live with musicians now. So sometimes if I have like a friend come over, or even if we're just all in the living room, my guitars are like it's just like right off screen.
Oh,
Like
yes.
right
They're
there.
ready. They're
So they're
ready.
ready. So it's just like anytime when there's like free time, it can happen. It can happen. Which I'm like, it's a nice place to be in. Because I remember the days when I just like was just starting guitar and it was like I'd never played with anyone, like didn't even know how that would work. And now it's quite easy to find a jam if I really want to. But
Sick.
yeah.
I
What about
love,
you?
I mean, like I guess I haven't jammed. I used to jam a lot when I was a teenager and a young adult, like with my flatmates at uni and stuff. I guess that's what you, with the situation you're in now, right? Like
Yeah, a little bit.
but I guess for a long time, playing music became kind of a really introspective thing, you know, like you just have, like the thing that I landed on was the baritone ukulele, which is like,
That's very niche.
I love it because it's like guitar sized, well, like kids guitar sized, but it's four strings and I have four fingers, and that makes sense to me. And I like it sounds quite mellow and calm. So I just like come home from
Sick.
work.
Hey.
Send the wrong sauce, I'm
Oh
sorry.
no, it's okay.
Hey, bring him in.
we have food.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. I just ate, but make yourself comfy. So yeah, I'd come home from work, pick up a ukulele, and then just like make something up, you know, and it would be just like completely on the spot, just like meander through different things. And occasionally I'd be like, I actually started recording things but mainly so I could remember something for the next day. I was like, oh, what was I playing yesterday, you know? So I'd like and so it's been weird to like sort of go back to very collaborative, teamworky style music, but still
That's
like
interesting.
I feel like I learned a lot of just like letting my fingers do the thinking and not think about it too hard. I mean, like I feel like I'm a sim, you know, like the Sims, like you know, like you can see from the thing above their head how they're feeling, and it's like whatever music comes out, it's just how I'm feeling, you know, like
That's very real. That's very, very real.
But it
Yeah,
feels weirdly the
interesting.
same, like, but I kind of use Pastigang like that a lot now. Like, come home from work, jam a bit, and get something out.
I guess it's kind of occupying the same space in your life or space mentally, like a quick little jam, even though it is over the internet. But you are still making collaborative music.
I love the spontaneous like side of in-person jams though, like even with Pasta Gang, like I'll always remember the first the London Algarve, where like I think that was the first time I've seen like people like travel in, you know,
Was that the
for
one like the April one? Or was it
where like there was one like empty visual slot, and then I think someone, maybe it was Laura or something, like just thought, oh, we could do a Pasta Gang one, and then like people's eyes start to go like and then like someone gets out a laptop and someone else gets out a laptop and someone else gets out, and it was like a visuals jam, but it's still a jam, you know, like,
Oh, sick.
and it's that excitement of like, oh, it's happening, it's happening, it's happening.
I remember being so like, I think the first Pasta Gang one I did participate in was April, and it was in London.
Oh,
I was so
sick.
excited. I was in Birmingham at the time, but I was like,
Nice.
wait, I can actually just like, I did this from home, and it's so cool. I remember I made like this visual that was like, it was like a photo of London, but had like the OSC overlaid.
I remember that.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then everyone see it when they go. And I was like, yeah. And then I saw on people's social media, I was like, oh my gosh, I made that. That's so cool.
Oh, that's
But
sick. That's sick.
yeah, it's definitely
Sometimes,
a core memory for me.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Core mem like I got so many core memories from Pasta Gang. I think that's the one of the craziest parts.
I think that one, the Pattern Club Pasta Gang and the Alpaca Pasta Gang, those
Oh,
are big for me.
because I was a remote participant of the Pattern Club one, and that was so cool. And that was another recording I fucked up, actually, because it filled up my hard drive.
Oh shoot. Yeah, I think most people for that one, or a lot of people were like in the room, and they were mostly mostly new to the whole thing, which is really sweet to see.
It was cool.
And then even like the workers at Gut Level, where it was
Oh yeah,
also
nice.
they took part as well, which is really nice.
That's great. That's great. I mean, we've kind of meandered around the topic,
We
but
have. I forgot what this topic was. Oh, the birthday bash recording.
okay, I mean, to we could go full circle and say that was a bit of a core memory for me, like
It was also a core memory. That was really sweet. And it was the day before we were performing as well in Sheffield. So it was good to have like that.
the energy. You that person Yagoda, I think it was her first ever thing, and like she stayed until the very end and like said like, you know, like, this is a core memory and stuff, so
Yeah, I wanted to participate more in the jam, but I was making my set for the next day.
that's very wise, that's very
Yeah.
wise. Well, you know, we had some other points that we talked about very briefly
We do it, we do, yeah.
previously, and I wrote down a note, cipher, right?
Cipher, yep.
Because I had heard this word a bunch and I didn't really know what it was. Do you think you can explain what a cipher is again?
I would say in its simplest terms, it's a bunch of different people jumping on a continuous instrumentation, but it could change. So you could have multiple beats, but it's just a bunch of different people all hopping on the same like extended track in its simplest form. I think you can have rap cyphers, you can have hyper pop cyphers. There are a bunch in circa 2020, 2021 Discord hyper pop. In terms of how it relates to live coding, my initial vision when I was like figuring out what live coding was for me, and when I was like improvising with my friends, was that it would be amazing to have a space, a venue, and to get local hip hop artists, local rappers to have a cipher using live coded beats and live coding instrumentation. Because I just think that would be wildly cool. Wildly cool. And that's still the vision. That's still like the dream. I don't know what situation I'm going to do that in, but I will make it happen one day.
Yeah, I mean, I
Yeah.
believe you. I believe you. Yeah, I want to come. I want to come. I
Yeah, you can be there. You
want to
can
come see.
participate as well. I
Oh,
but I don't
yeah.
think it should just be me making like instrumentals because there's so many like talented people as well. So I think it could be truly like a cipher of beats and instruments and a cipher of artists as well.
Right. So you have, okay, wait, because like in, I guess in some kind of ciphers, you have like someone doing all the beats.
Yeah, it's normally like a one producer doing all the beats, but you could have multiple people like
Right,
playing.
right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sick. And because this is like, was this part of the reason why you originally got into live coding, right? To sort of make beats for your little backend.
Actually, not quite. It's like I got into live coding and then I realized that would be a really sick purpose for it. And then that's kind of what I tried to pursue mainly in the first couple months. But I originally got into live coding just to make just to perform one track I had live. So just one demo I've made, which we were trying to re-record today. But
Oh, nice.
yeah.
Nice.
I wanted to get that working in a live setting, and I don't own any MIDI instruments, I don't own any MIDI controllers, I don't have Ableton, I don't have any DAW for live performance. So I was like, it's either I play a track or I use the software I come across and see if it can work, and it did. And the rest is, as they say, history. Yeah.
And then you started doing like tons more as well.
Tons more. Yeah, it really
Tons
scaled
more.
really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you mentioned like Ableton and Adores, and that was like another point I have down. I think you
Oh,
mentioned on the Discord. We
yeah.
should definitely get to that, but
We should.
like I wanna like make the obvious comment like on this thing that like this is not it's I would say, at least from what I can see as a relative newbie to the whole live coding world as well, is that the majority of live coding is not like making beats to like to be a background or like to go alongside real world performance, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is pretty true. I think that's changing with like all the social media and like the viral stuff that's happening. I don't necessarily think that a massive change over to that like way of thinking using live coding is necessarily a good thing. But I think more variation like styles and what people are doing with live coding is always a good thing. So yeah, I don't really know who I guess you could say like pioneered using live code with like live instrumentation or like live vocals, etc., etc. I did come across I was at Alpaca Festival and they played Lil Data's remix of Array by DJ Dave. And I did some research into Lil Data. And Lil Data was on the PC Music label with like A.G. Cook and
That's right.
like Figure Karma was doing like Charlie and stuff like that. And I read an interview of Lil Data and he said like a couple years, like 3 or 4 years going back, maybe that he wanted to continue working with like songwriters and do more live coding with like songwriters. So there's like a it's at least quite a recent history of like that happening. I feel like I'm kind of like myself, I wouldn't really categorize with that in the same way, just because like I didn't really know what live coding was. It was more just like an idea I had. I think I was very much influenced by like people who work with electronic like music and work with like Ableton Live and stuff like that. And also there's this artist from I think Manchester, and he did a residency at my workplace in Leeds, and I didn't get to see it, but I saw it mentioned in like the description that he used live coding. And so I was like, okay, there's a precedent for this. It's like people have done this before, so it should be possible for me to do it as well. Yeah.
Sick. That's, I mean, but yeah, but I guess you like had the gusto to go ahead and
I think there's
just
something
dive
about just
in.
not knowing what is like the done thing in something kind of leads you to like, I guess, think outside of whatever the box would be for that, like, for that genre.
I think that's true because like I think for a lot of us, like we sort of come into the live coding world through like workshops, or we go see an Algorave, and like I guess I was at a point I had no idea what it was for, and I was like, oh, it's for this. This is how you do it. You have two people on stage, and one does the vision, and one does the sound, and that's it. Like, and that's that's no one's fault. That's just like me trying to make sense of it, but that is true. You've got to check out Timo and Lina. They're this duo. I don't know if they have like a duo name. I
I
don't know.
think I think
Do
my
you know
housemate might have
them?
seen me.
They were at ICLC and they did this sick set at the Algorave where like Lina was like, I think it was just I think it was a guitar, or it may have been a bass guitar. It was some sort of guitar. And Timo was playing drums. And just just like the raw power of it was just like unreal. Like definitely had a different kind of like all of the sets were incredible. But that one was like different, it was so cool. And Timo did this like they really had fun with it too. Like Timo did this thing where he was like drumming and coding at the same time, like because like they were seriously like just keeping the beat going the entire time. There's no like stop and start.
It sounds amazing.
Like it was absolutely bonkers. So you should check out them too. That was pretty. But I looked at it and I was like, oh well, fuck. Like I'm never gonna do anything like that. Holy shit, that's
That's,
insane.
I guess sometimes that's my worry, because I feel like from a traditional music perspective, if you're an outsider to the world of Algorave and you go see an Algorave event and you see someone with live instruments, you can kind of like, my worry is that it prejudices people against like what the core, I guess core like side of like live coding is. And that's not necessarily what I want. It's like, I think it's good to explore live coding in like as many facets as possible. But yeah, I don't know. I try to acknowledge like, I don't know what I keep calling it, like when I got interviewed by Rory, I kept calling it like core live coding. But I try to acknowledge that and like respect that as much as possible, because I feel like without that, like none of the stuff down the line is possible. And I feel like, yeah, it's not inherently cooler or like better because you include instruments. We're all just like, I mean, it's we're all just like kind of nerds at the end of the day. We're all just like,
We're all just trying to do some shit. I don't know.
pretty much.
I would say like don't hold back though, like I mean yeah, I don't think you are, but yeah, I guess like I get the sense from you that it's super important that this culture of like inclusion and like even like the I don't know anything about cipher culture, if there is a cipher culture. I'm totally ignorant, and but I get the sense that that's like an important part for you, that that comes with like real world instruments for you, like or like real world performance.
I think, well, I guess what attracts me to like Algorave scene, aside from just use as a tool, is like inclusivity. It's like open sourceness. It's like willingness to like share and learn, and like to almost like a radical extent. And you don't see that in you see that in very few other like cultures and communities. I think we touched on skating last time as well, and skateboarding. Yeah, I think skating is another one of those few communities where it's like, depending on who you speak to, because you have some people who just go into skating to like look cool or whatever. Like if you're with people who genuinely care about skating as like a cultural art form, they're like so willing to show people like what to do. They're so willing to help new beginners. They're so willing to tell people what the spots are, et cetera, et cetera. So seeing like a similar vibe and a similar energy from the Algorave scene made it such like a like an instantly like attractive thing. I feel like if it was kind of like if Strudel was like owned by a company, it was more closed off and like people acted like how they act on Stack Overflow, I don't think I would have like interacted with the scene at all. But I think because it's so open, it's meant like I feel very committed to like raising and like elevating the algorithm between where and whenever I can, and just yeah, because it's like really cool. I think even as just like a cultural like staple, I think it's so cool, and so cool that like you have this energy, you almost like this early internet like Wild West energy that's still there despite like us being in like the most fascist form of the internet that we've ever had.
Yeah,
But
it's kind of a breath of fresh air.
yeah, it really is. It really is.
I feel like for me, it feels like when I discovered like the live coding world and the algorithm world, it was like, oh my God, I finally like found my people in a way, you know? Like,
Yeah. No,
it's
100%.
kind of ticks all the boxes. It's like welcoming, it's inclusive, it's like exciting, it's cheeky, it's musical, it's artistic, it's creative, it's techie, it's political, it's nerdy, it's international, blah 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 blah, you know. But what that makes me feel is and yeah, it makes me feel like I can't just consume that, you know, like it's you, like I feel like it's a kind of community where you're kind of doing it an injustice if you're not putting something back into it and trying to make it
100%.
even better.
Yeah, which I feel like more
Yeah.
communities should be like and should like feel like. But I think that's really important to like the culture of at least
Yeah.
the live coders I've met and worked with so far.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
I had skate culture as another point. And there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about for the previous point, but like I feel like it's worth skate culture's come up, right? So
You can say the other thing and I'll make a note of it just so we.
all right, it's about feeling the potential for feeling stuck between like live coding world and like the non-live coding world of music, you know.
Okay. I
Yeah,
put a pin in
put a pin, literally put a pin in.
it. Yeah, put a pin in it.
Nice.
Yeah,
Okay.
okay. Skate culture.
But skate culture, so you are a skater. You're a skater. Is
Yeah,
that
I am a
the
skater. I am. It's literally also right here.
Oh,
Oh, there we go.
nice,
Yeah.
nice, nice. And I said on the last podcast that we've lost that I saw you
Unfortunately.
skating
Yes.
before your set at Alpaca. I was like, oh shit, that's Bundy.
Yeah.
God, he's even cooler than I thought. That's crazy. That's mad.
it's funny. Skating for me was like just like I think it was like low-key a special interest. That's how it started. I was on
Right.
YouTube. I was on
Yeah,
YouTube
yeah.
watching Hans Wolters. He's a longboarder from Belgium. And longboarding is weird because it's like it's pretty similar to like live coding in terms of like being like quite a niche, quite also quite European scene compared to like I guess broader skateboarding. But he was someone who just like posts like so many good tutorials on like his way of longboarding, and he posts like the most beautiful like cinematic edits, and I was like, this is so cool. And I didn't like I have the privilege of like being a teenager who didn't really like care like what other people were doing. So I was like, I want a longboard, I want a longboard, I want a longboard. I managed to get enough money, save enough money on my 15th birthday to buy myself one in June. And then the rest from there just like followed.
So wait,
But
do you still use a longboard?
yeah, I'm still a longboard.
Right. So
Yeah,
the,
I've
is
always been a
it
longboard.
longboard is like, I mean, I'm guessing longer than a skateboard.
It's longer than a skateboard.
It's
You can get different types of trucks, which are the things that connect the wheels to the board, and
yeah.
then the wheels are slightly larger.
Cool. Does that mean
Yeah.
it's like harder? Like is
Not
it nerdier?
necessarily.
Oh,
It's definitely nerdier. It's definitely nerdier.
right.
But it's more so it's more choreographed than skateboarding, I would say. I feel like longboarders tend to plan out their lines more in a more structured manner. There's fewer tricks, generally speaking. I tend to use my longboard for more skateboarding tricks, which is kind of funny when I think about it, because I use live coding to do like traditional music,
And you use a
and I use
longboard to do
longboard to
skateboarding.
skateboard. But
Yes,
I guess
yes.
it's just like the way my brain works. But
Nice. Yeah.
yeah, it's also really good for dancing, and I think a lot of my early connection for music and with music came from learning to longboard and like just having something playing while I was skating.
Wait. You said it's really good for dancing?
Yeah, people dance on longboards. Like that's it's called like longboard dancing.
No way. I had
That's like the
no
discipline.
idea.
Yeah, dancing very loosely used as a term there. Some people would say
Yeah,
like this is not dancing, but I think,
yeah,
for example, like a trick that happens a lot in longboarding that never
yeah.
happens in skateboarding is like a pirouette, which is like a pirouette,
Yeah.
like in ballet.
Yeah.
It's the same move,
Cool.
and you just pirouette in the center of the board, and then you have
Yeah.
this thing called cross steps where you're like
Yeah.
crossing your legs over and crossing them, and it's like it's kind of it's very much like its own thing.
Yeah, that's cool. There's like this whole world that because the other thing you said last time was that like there's a lot of sort of pattern appreciation that goes on in it.
I remembered what the Instagram was called for like all the dancing steps. I will see if I can
And because whilst you're looking for that, and that made me think, because I know that Jade, Switch Angel, that you know, big strudler, big, basically, I don't know, has written half of Strudel.
Yes, literally the best ever.
and she is so into skating too. And that in Barcelona in ICLC, like literally every spare moment, I just like look out the window and she's skating, and James is like filming her.
I didn't realize I haven't properly spoken to Switch Angel as
Oh,
yet,
she's a
but
hardcore skater. Like, I think it was a normal skateboard, not a longboard, but you never know. So there's something in there about patterns and like life coding
I sent you
culture.
the Instagram, but there is definitely something in there about patterns and coding. I think I shouted out the YouTube channel Why the Trick last time.
What? Yeah.
Yeah, and they
Oh,
break down
man.
skateboarding using physics, and that really helped me understand, at least as someone from a science background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah, because I don't understand how. I mean, like, I feel like if I learned, if I watched some of those videos, I'd understand. Maybe. And do you know what? I will watch some of those videos. But these diagrams of the feet, like your feet position, is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're really cool, and they're really like it's helpful because for me, I could just turn my board over and just practice them without having to like actually skate. So if it was like a rainy day back when I was like addicted to skateboarding, I would like turn my board over, practice them over and over and over.
Nice. That's pretty cool. But there's okay. For skating, there's all the pattern stuff, but there's also like the culture side. I think that's like why you originally brought it up, like was the culture, like is it
It's a
similar?
very like a similar culture in terms of the openness and like willingness to teach other people and help other people out. And it's just something that's like rare to see, and I think more like increasingly rare in this, don't want to sound like an old man, but in this day and age.
These days.
These days it's just I think skating is like the first time I truly like experienced that. And with the longboarding community, because it's so like niche, people get really excited when they see like it's actually so similar to like live coding. Like when people get excited to see like someone like make beats and work with rappers with live coding. When I was longboarding and doing like tricks at the skate park, and I was doing like double flips and I was like hitting stairs, people got really excited to see that because it's not what was commonly done in longboarding.
That's cool.
And then I got a lot of support from that community. I had people send decks for free, which is like
What?
so nice of them. Like
What?
they didn't have to do that. Like they took their own hard-earned cash and gave it to like a 16-year-old who was
So
just
you're
like
like a legend in that world as well? Is
not a legend. I got to be
this
quite good at longboarding. I haven't posted in a while, but
Yeah.
I still technically ride for One Love, which is a Korean longboarding brand. And
Amazing.
yeah,
Amazing.
they're really cool people, really cool folks over
And
there.
like the other, I guess the other part of skating, like
Like
is
the
that
dark side.
There's a dark side. I mean, there's like a, I don't know, you mentioned last time it's like something you can sort of do anywhere, like there's a,
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Like the I think there's an actual like sociological term for it, but I don't remember it. But you kind of like it kind of breaks down social barriers in a way where you have a common goal and suddenly all the different parts of the city you live in, they're kind of just like a blank canvas for you to skate on. You don't really care if this area is more deprived, you don't care about the demographics of this area. Then you end up going through like a lot of different places and seeing a lot of different sides of a city. But in skating, everyone is like, obviously there's issues with like misogyny, and that was always like a thing, like been a constant during skateboarding, and it is a very white dominated activity, as like at least in UK towns and cities. But that aside, speaking more generally, folks tend to be on a fairly like equal level playing field, and it's like if you're good, you're good. Like, and the people who actually skate don't care about your background. If you're good, you're good. And if you're not good, they want to help you. Or like at least like show you how you can do this and how you can do that. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I have like most of my friends, I would say, I either met them through skateboarding or through music.
Okay, yeah, and yeah, because God, there's so much to talk about. Okay, but we gotta press on. I think okay, that's super interesting to me. I appreciate you going over some of the same things again, because I think people will find that super interesting as well.
Yeah, for sure. I did mention my blog last time. I will probably reread the article I wrote on skateboarding and see if it's like fit for human consumption.
Publishable. Nice.
Publishable,
Nice.
but I might send that your way. It
Yeah.
does go up into more into like how I felt about skateboarding and when I was like more in the time when I was like actively in the community and still like a teenager and
Yeah.
all
Well, I
that jazz.
mean, please do. Like, if you can even send it, like, straight after this or
Yeah,
now,
for sure. For
because,
sure.
like, I'll probably try and, like, get this out tonight, you know.
Nice. Okay.
Who knows? Or tomorrow. But we'll
Sick.
see. Okay, and I'll scoop around to another point.
Okay.
So I think the reason I actually asked you originally to like, hey, you know, like let's, if you want, let's just like hop on a call and let's chat about some of this stuff, was that you posted on the Strudel Discord that you had a lot of thoughts about like the scene and live coding and etc. And you wanted to write a blog post. And so I was like, yeah, like super excited about that, especially seeing as I spoke with you at Alpaca in Sheffield. And yeah, I was like very interested in a bunch of the stuff you were saying. And if it's like, as long as it's okay, if you're happy to talk about this, one of the most interesting things I found was like this thing that we put a pin in.
Oh,
Like,
okay. Feeling stuff.
do you wanna, yeah, do you
Feeling stuck.
wanna,
So, to clarify,
yeah.
feeling stuck between non-live coding music and live coding music.
Yeah, because I think you were, ex you know, it was very late, but like you're expressing some feelings about like, I think in live coding spaces, which you love, you know, like sometimes there's a pressure to do more live coding things. And then in non-live coding music settings, which you also love, there's like a pressure to do non-live coding things. And you find yourself a little bit in the middle. Have I got that right?
Yeah, I think I remember this conversation. I think we were talking about like my sets and what I could potentially do in the future, maybe. And I think you'd suggested to maybe do like a full improvisational set at some point.
I can't remember that much, but I remember some things. I remember some things.
Yeah, I guess the difficulty with that comes like to the forefront of my mind is recently doing this like string of gigs. A lot of them have been through live coding, which I'm super grateful for, but some have been like I played like a yoga studio the
Nice. Did it have to be chill? Did it have to be really calm? Really? relaxed.
It didn't have to be, but then they all sat on their yoga mats and wrapped themselves in blankets. So then I was like, yeah, I won't do any screaming today.
Yeah,
But
no, no beats, no beats.
yeah, but no, it's like it's really fun. It's fun to be able to like play in all those spaces, and it's like an immense privilege to be booked for gigs like that. But it makes it really hard as I guess as a solo artist and as a performer without like a team. I basically have to change my set every single time I perform, and I'm gonna have to change again for Saturday. And I think the done thing in like the music industry is to have one set and really work on it and really like hone it and polish it. And that's what I guess ideally I would be doing. But because of the type of music I make, it means if I'm playing for like, if I'm supporting like an indie band, I'm not gonna be playing my like club tunes. Vice versa, if I'm doing a club gig, I won't be doing as much of my indie music. And it's really nice to be able to like toe that line, but it means a lot of practice is needed, and a lot of the time I don't have practice. I don't have time for that practice because I'm at university now. Before that, I was doing like a 9 to 5, so it's just like a lot of juggling. But I wouldn't say I feel like, maybe at the time I felt more stuck because it was like right at the start of all these gigs and I didn't really know how it would work out and how it would pan out, and I'm still figuring stuff out. I think having done a couple more, I feel more like, I really feel like I'm improving on both fronts. And I feel like the better I get at live coding and the better I get a guitar and the better I get vocally, like the less pressure is like kind of put on myself for like practice. It means I'm like more easily, readily just like go and play, like depending on whatever the circumstances. I'm trying to think if there's any more aspects in which I feel stuck. I guess sometimes it's like hard to know if sometimes I can feel like maybe I'm doing too much one way or the other. Like maybe it feels like I'm like, oh, like bringing all these instruments to like a live coding event might be a little bit too much. Or again, live coding visuals and audio at like an indie support is, I think, objectively kind of doing too much, but I don't mind. I don't mind too much.
Because I remember like one of the things I was saying to you, like, because you were like, "Hey Lou, what do you think I should do?" I'm like, "What? What me? What you are?" Like, you're asking me? Like, and like the thing I said was like, like, fuck it, just like be you, like people like you, because they do, you do your thing, and whether it's too much or too little, and like maybe there's an element of that that is actually bad, because like just turning up and just doing your like one track and just being totally oblivious is kind of like losing the point of part of the point of live music in a way. Like, you want to be responding. You're like, all right, we got yoga mats out,
Yeah, 100%.
like, it's not like I'm here to put perform my product that I've polished, but still,
Which,
like, I want to be me,
yeah. I think a lot of like, so working with like musicians who are like kind of, I guess, not chasing industry, but like looking for music industry success and wanting to work with labels and wanting to be professional musicians, there's always like this chase and like this rush towards like perfection. And the difficult thing to grapple with, I guess, for me is that's the complete opposite ethos of like live coding. Like,
And skating
and
and
skating.
jamming, right?
But it's a weird thing because you always have like, you have like the culture of like an art form that produces and like fosters creatives and like gives people the opportunity to make this music or like do the skating stuff. And then you always have like the palatable, like cleansed, like fit for consumption, like upper echelon version of that. I think it happens in like a lot of different things. Like, if you want to be a professional skateboarder, probably had to start when you were five. Your parents probably had to take you to skate school. And then I think this is probably going to go a bit too, not too skateboarding, but this is like very like
No,
specific skateboarding
let's
knowledge.
go to
But
skateboarding,
okay.
right? I'm ready.
All right, but the best skateboarder, very subjective phrase, but the best, someone who's considered one of the best skateboarders is Nyjah. And he's basically a professional athlete, dresses like a professional athlete until very recently. And it's just kind of like the opposite to what a lot of skateboarders consider core, like underground, like skate culture. But he's objectively good, but he has like such a like a clean visual aesthetic, clean profile. And the way he lands tricks is so like rehearsed and like robotic that people would say it no longer feels like skating in spirit. Like people have made that argument. But it is objectively like amazing skateboarding. And it's always like, I guess it's always like a balance, and it's always like figuring out what you want from the art form. Like, do you want to be on a label, like making music and touring and doing stadiums? I guess if so, you probably want to be. You probably aren't live coding to start off with, and you never know,
You never know,
but you probably want to have as polished a final product as possible. If it's, I guess for me, like making music for like connection and just to show like what music can be and like what. Yeah, like what, like to what extent can we call something music, or like to how can I put two things together in music that haven't been put together before? That's, I think, is the important thing for me. And I think on that path I'm doing okay so far. But it's difficult when I have like people who have completely different perspectives all like around me. I think that's the part I struggle with more than live code versus non-live code. Because yeah, you can have rehearsed and unrehearsed with both. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. No, it was okay. What's the time? We're doing good. No,
Doing this
that's
thing.
great. That's great. That's great. That's like, God, yeah. It's great. Great listening to you about that.
Thanks.
I feel like I'm in a very privileged position here. Like I'm very fortunate. I come from a very fortunate background. I've got like a tech job that's 4 days, so I get 1 day to do other stuff.
Nice.
So like I'm extremely fortunate, and so it makes me like conscious that when I'm saying like just go for it, just fuck it, like in a sense I have like the luxury of being able to do that, and I'm aware that like some people it's like the only, I don't know, like to get from A to B where like they're doing music or they're performing all the time, it might mean sacrificing other things. Like I sacrifice certain things to make a living, but there's other, so it means I cannot compromise in other places, but I still, do you know what I mean? So
100%, and I think that's something I have to be aware of as well. Like, I think a lot of people like look at the fact that I do music and I like skate and I'm studying like STEM and I do graphic design sometimes, and they're like, "Wow, da 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 da." But like, just even like just to be in a position where you have the free time to like learn those things, and I guess I did most of them like as a teenager and as a child, but that in itself is like a privilege. You have to have parents who are like willing to accommodate that, and you have to have money to be able to buy a board. You have to have a laptop at least for like half of those things, and it's like it really like matters, I guess. I think more than anything, like time, like the time you have to spend on your activities. And I've been lucky in that things have panned out with university and work to like allow me to like spend a lot of time doing these things. Like when I was learning live coding, it was the period when I was like unemployed, so it like kind of lined up quite perfectly. And when I was playing guitar, it was the pandemic, so I learned the guitar in the pandemic. I had literally nothing else to do. I was unemployed when I was learning live coding. So besides like looking for a job and applying, my days were pretty free. And yeah, I think that's just something like that's important for me to like remember and acknowledge. And as a result, I try and I guess help people who aren't in the same position like where I can. Like I've been wanting to do workshops for Strudel and Hydra for the longest time, and they're finally happening at the end of the month,
Nice,
which is big.
that's sick. That's
But
great.
yeah, I think it is important to remember privilege. And I think in general, being a musician requires some level of privilege at one stage. And it's not a bad thing because it is a very like luck-based art form. But it's good to good to acknowledge that when you can.
Yeah, but you're killing us.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess like the thing that it makes me want to do is like to actually do more organizing and do more like outreach and do more stuff like that.
100%.
So I just take a lot of inspiration from you. So
Thank you.
I
Vice versa as well.
Oh no, I mean I'm doing this for fun, really, but.
Yeah, it is also at the end of the day, it is like mainly fun for me. But I do like, yeah, I think like it's such a cool thing to be able to like code and program. And I've been wanting to learn software development my whole life, and I didn't have like the opportunity until October last year. So it's yeah, just like giving other people and like younger people, older people, like the opportunities to like learn new things is just yeah, it's the best.
Okay, we've been going for an hour.
Yes.
There was that one more point.
Yep. Oh yeah, the DAW.
And so what do you think? Would you be up for doing that as like one more point? Or do you want to pause it there for this time and we'll leave it as a cliffhanger?
We can do the DAW while it's
Yeah?
like fresh in everyone's
It's
minds.
pretty
Yeah, it
fresh.
is pretty fresh.
Do you want to give a bit of context?
Bit of context is people have been rage baiting on TikTok, and basically one of the biggest responses to Strudel videos going viral is either A, this isn't real coding, like it's just loops in a pattern. You're just using like a DAW with like JavaScript wrapper around it, basically. Actually, I just said both of them in one. That's basically it. You're basically either using, why don't you use your DAW, or this isn't real coding. It's like, yeah, one of the two. And I have had that commented like a couple times, but it does seem to be happening more to the women who are posting Strudel. And I think that's an important clarification to make.
100%. And so like on I think a DJ Dave like video, you'll see quite a lot of vile comments, which is unfortunately all too common on the internet. And but yeah, there's like a bunch that are like I guess like intriguing in a way, like why don't you just use a DAW, right? A DAW and DAW, right? Why don't you just do that? And you mentioned a bit about them earlier, right? Like, and you like so. It sounds like you do. You ha do. Have you used these DAWs and stuff in the past?
I use DAWs all the time. I use
All the
DAWs
time.
like all the time. It's an integral part of my workflow, as well as Strudel. If I'm making a track, it's usually bouncing between guitar, Strudel, DAW. Like, I usually like to write down my lyrics on paper. It's all just like different tools at the end of the day, is how I would like to view it.
So
I think,
like, yeah, sorry,
yeah.
keep going. You keep going.
No. I was just gonna say, I think I made an analogy in the Discord, and I said that Strudel feels more like sketching to me. Whereas working with a digital audio workstation, DAW feels more like painting. And I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about like a final polished, like clean product versus like something that's like live and moving and can change. You can like erase a bit of your sketch, you can draw something new. And they're like, they're different things, but they're not inherently like separate. They're not mutually exclusive. Like you normally have, if you want to make a really good painting, you normally have a bit of sketching involved. You can have a really good sketch that doesn't need to be a painting.
Right. It's just like a
Yeah.
finished product
Just
as
a
a
finished
sketch.
product in its own right as a sketch.
Or there's
And I
some
feel like,
kind of painting where you go straight to the painting or whatever.
yes,
Yeah.
exactly. I think people really love when things fit in boxes because it's just like human nature. And people really get angry when people have fun. And especially when people have fun when it's something they like, don't understand. And especially when it's a woman having fun and it's something they don't understand. But
Yeah,
yeah.
it's like there's a bit of intimidation, you know, like I don't understand this and it's a woman doing it, therefore like, well, they must be wrong or in some
Yeah.
way.
Yeah, I will say I think with TikTok it is like a lot of, I'm guessing it's a lot of like younger kids and like slightly younger teens, older teens, and I can kind of forgive them for being dumb on the internet because like everyone has that phase. But yeah, I feel like DAW, why don't you use a DAW, is kind of like a silly question. It's like asking Skrillex why he doesn't play like acoustic guitar, which I'm sure he does. But yeah.
I mean, like, it's quite, I find it quite funny because, like, the answer from you is like, well, I do, you know, like
Yeah,
I do both, you know,
I
like,
do.
yeah, I do just use a door as well. Like, and yeah, then the other thing was like about whether it's real coding or not. And obviously, like, this like stinks of misogyny too, but yeah, like it feels like I don't know, like,
Yeah, I think that's a whole other conversation you can have. Like, what is real coding? Also, fails to acknowledge the fact that, like, at least with Switch Angel, who also is also like, I guess one of the live coders who's going most viral at the moment. They have like coded so much of Surreal, like so much, and I think that's not obvious when you're just watching a video on how to like make this in Surreal. But it's the type of community where a lot of the people who are using it as a musical tool are also contributing, if not directly on the code base, they're giving feedback, they're like suggesting ideas for what it should be, like they're shaping the code in some way, shape, or form, and that's valid in its own right. I'm not like a computer scientist to tell someone what is real coding and what isn't real coding, but I can like, it's kind of like with any sort of like language, if you know how to program and you're using Strudel and you're using like live coding techniques for creative purposes, it will improve how you work as a programmer, I think, and how you work as like a software developer and how you think about things. At least in my experience, because I think I learned to program from October to January and I started Strudel in March. So they were very like close to each other. But I found that even when I go back to like more traditional software development or bioinformatics or anything, it's like, okay, I know how code works generally because I'm like coding constantly all the time, at least for music.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's like, and I find it such a th so people saying like that something is not a real something is one of the comments that I get most frequently on all of like my YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so one of the most common things is that's not a, I do a lot of stuff with cellular automata, like simulations and grids and stuff. And lots of people tell me it's not a real cellular automaton, right? And it's kind of funny because like for most of my videos that I put out, I never said it was real cellular automaton. You know, like, and I guess it's the same with like the vids that Switch Angel and DJ Dave are putting out. It's like, like it's live coding. It's like one thing, it's a weird kind of coding. But still, like, I feel like people, like you say, like to put things in boxes.
I got a lot of that's not a real board comments as well when I used to post my like longboarding. That's a
Really?
whole thing. You're
What
not
is
writing a
it
real
with
board,
people?
you're not. It's just people really like want stuff to be uniform, and it's so like wild to me because I feel like so much of like human culture is like being able to be subversive. But when you're
Yeah.
even in, if you're in a subversive category like skateboarding, if you're not being the subversive like the right way, people take issue, which I think is crazy. I feel like, yeah.
I mean, like, I like maybe this is going too far as well, but like, and obviously it goes without saying that people say to me, like, you're not a real woman, right? And I'm like, I know I'm not, like, I'm so, like, I'm non-binary, right? And it's just like such a confusing concept for lots of people.
Yeah, no, I think it's good to touch on that as well, definitely.
Yeah, like it's whether it's something that matters a lot, like or doesn't matter at all. Like, who cares what a cellular automaton is? Like, no one cares, really. Like, it doesn't matter. But it's like still it's the same sort of response.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to discuss. Oh, I wanted to ask you two
Yeah.
things.
Yeah.
So, do you find
All right.
live coding relates to your job in tech at all? And
Does it relate? Yeah, good question. Yeah, was the other, did they come as two? Did they come as a pair
no,
in
they
this
don't come as
case?
two. The other one is just touching on how to, I guess, respond or like what the response of like live coders should be to this whole like you're not real coding, you're not real DAW, whatever. And I think personally, response should just be to like keep going. Who cares what people have to say? But that could be
You want to
a wider
know what
discussion.
I think? Okay, well, the first one's probably easier. It's like, so I'm a software engineer, if you didn't know. And I guess one of the ways that it really relates to my job is that, like, I feel so much of live coding is like being part of the community that's building the tools themselves. And that's the biggest point where it helps. So, like, building Noodle and like making the website for Pastagang or whatever, like, that's where it overlaps more. I think the reason I picked up Strudel quickly was because I write JavaScript all day and it uses the same syntax as JavaScript. But it's like my head is in a completely different place when I'm writing Strudel compared to when I'm writing JavaScript.
Interesting.
I think, like, I love my team, my colleagues. They don't they they like they don't really get it. They don't, they're like, oh, Lee's live coding again.
Fair.
But they come to events
Nice.
here and there and enjoy it. And actually, one of my colleagues is getting a bit into it, but
Hey, okay. Nice. It's spreading.
Annie's got the bug. Yeah, it's gone to a few
Nice.
meetups, but so yeah, like there's crossover, but it's very different. It's more to do with like building the tools around it.
Okay,
And
nice.
like response, I lo mostly agree with you that like we should just ignore it and press on. But like my like temptation in all these times is to like s try to subvert it and parody it and sort of like really dig into it a lot. Like, this is how I often get into trouble though. It's like
Do you remember my parody I posted to? I think one day I was just like kind of getting annoyed and I made this thing on Mastodon with like the visual and it's like, why don't you just use a DAW? That's just like
I remember
a,
this. Yeah, like I feel like that's a re like that I think that's great because it like lets off like the pressure valve from Like, I don't, you know, like you shared that like internally with the community, you know, like it's not like you're replying with that, but like you shared that internally, and I think it makes everyone laugh and sort of like see it for what it is, which is ridiculous and funny, you know. And, you know, like whether we should be annoyed or not, you know, like whether maybe it's people who are trying to cause trouble, maybe it's people you just don't know and they want to know. Either way, there's like some humor there, and I feel like it's good to like lower the temperature without avoiding it, you know?
It's good to address, definitely.
Yeah.
But I think it's also good to de-escalate.
Like the thing, like I think it would be like hilarious to do like a massive Algorave set that's like all themed around like, why don't you just use a door? You know, like I probably will do it. Like I've done like two fuck off AI music sets now. Like hopefully I'll do many more.
Yeah, I need to start putting that back in my comments in my code.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned this. My housemate went to a set in Sheffield, I believe, and someone was like, I guess it wouldn't be live coding, but
Yeah.
they did like an entire like DJ like track set in FL Studio. And I think that's like kind of insane to like use FL Studio like live. That sounds
I
so
love
cool.
it. I love
So
it.
cool.
I love it. I mean, like, I feel like that's some of the most fun kind of live coding. It's like when you're like, pushing the boundaries
For
of what's
sure.
possible. Like, it blew my mind that like CSS was such a good live coding language. You know,
I
like,
didn't know that.
I mean, like, I don't know why. Like in Noodle, people started just like escaping Strudel, you know,
Oh, I see. I do. Yeah.
and writing code, and then I think Felix added like the JavaScript block to kind of like make it officially condoned, you know,
Nice.
and then people started just doing CSS and making the screen spin around and stuff. But it's so
That's
good
sick.
because it's like you know, it's declarative, so like you just say what should happen and it immediately happens. It doesn't like have to run through an order, you know. So anyway, so the world is full of live coding surprises, you know.
Indeed,
Who
indeed.
knows what we'll find. Well, I think we figured it all out.
I think that's a good spot to call a wrap.
I think it is. There is definitely more that, you know, one day I'd love to pick your brain on, maybe in person, hopefully in person again, if you're able to come to London or I'm able to go see you
I'm in
soon.
London this Saturday.
This, oh, I'm not in London this Saturday.
Oh, it's Peckham Digital.
I know, this is why I'm so gutted. This is why I'm so gutted. I'm missing all of Peckham Digital for the first time. It's just tragic. But it's because it's my 10-year anniversary.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. Don't say that yet. Touch wood, you know.
Oh.
Only a few more days. Only a few more days.
Okay, yeah, touch wood.
Touch. Think I can do it. Three more days.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. Pasta gang's 1 year old, and my relationship is 10 years old. So
Nice.
things are on the up. Anyway, I'm gonna hit stop recording.
Ooh.
Oh,
Before you go, have you pressed
okay.
it
No.
yet? I just wanted to float a couple possible topics for future pasta gangers.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Let's hear them.
I just have two. It's just two.
Yeah?
I think the big elephant in the room,
Yeah.
Mr. Artificial Intelligence.
Mr. Artificial Intelligence. Yeah, an innocent
And
mister.
more so, I think if we want to be specific about it, the AI
Yes.
pull requests, the AI PRs on Strudel,
Yeah.
the AI Twitter bros. I feel like there's a lot that can be
Yeah.
said about that.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. That's a big topic.
That's a big one. That could be a whole like series,
You
to be fair.
know, Alex McLean is writing a blog post about it at the moment, and
Okay, nice.
I keep bugging him like I've been bugging you because I want to read it, you know?
And then I would say alt live coding languages. So I just I had to download Tidal Cycles for the gig that just went by in Sheffield, not to use, but just to have like Super Collider. And I thought I'd just
Right.
install Tidal, so I want to start working with that a bit. I'm working with Sinter at the moment. I've got it
Nice.
installed, I've got it running, so I'm gonna try and
Nice.
like try and make some cool stuff of that after my gigs are done.
Yeah.
And I've also read, I think, Fruz's blog about making your own live coding language. I started trying to do that in, I think it's C++,
Yeah,
and
or
I was
C.
like,
Yeah, something like
yeah, it was for like a job interview,
that.
and you had to know C++. So I was like, let me try and do this in C++. It didn't go well, but it's something I'm like willing to like explore in the future. But also there's so many like so many different live coding languages, so many different coding languages in general to explore.
Did I mention this when we did our short? Because we talked about different languages a little bit,
Yeah, I think we
and
spoke a bit about
I
I think I
said,
spoke a bit about like the strudelification of live coding.
yes, so that would be a good topic for future. I did a bit of practice of using SonicPy and Strudel at the same time,
Yes,
and
you did mention that.
that's what I want to put out, is like using multiple tools at the same time. Like one performance doesn't like just need one. Like, and you're paving the way there with like whipping out a piano halfway through a set. But like, I think yeah, different live coding tools at the same
No,
time
for
would be
sure. That is
fun.
why I do like using using Flock for like visuals and audio, and also just even like I have this idea where I really want to try and use a Sinter for like ambience, and then Strudel on top of Sinter,
Does
and
Daniel know?
then
Does Daniel know?
no, it's a secret.
He's gonna be chuffed. He's gonna be so bloody
Yeah,
chuffed.
we'll see if I can get it working. But I think it's cool to just appreciate Strudel, yes, but appreciate everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Sinter. Shout out to Train
Oh, I haven't heard of Train.
by Greg. Oh, yeah. So Trane,
T-R-A-N-E.
Terrain,
Nice.
by George Ash, otherwise known as Greg, as his performance name. If you ever
Nice.
hear a crow during a London Pasta Gang set, that's him.
Oh, I thought everyone just said crow. I thought crow was
Well,
like
no, but
drops
like
rep.
when the crow is like sharp and guttural and like stabs you in the heart because it's so loud and frequent, that's Greg. Yeah, that's Greg.
Ooh, another topic. Is Jux Rev dead?
Is Juxrev dead? Tell me more. What do you mean? Do you think it's overdone?
Is it on its way out? Do we need a new Jux Rev?
Do you know what? I've started using it less, but it's not because I like it less. It's like I've discovered other crutches, even easier crutches. Like, it's not that Juxrev is too advanced.
I've started using it actually, like within the past like two, 3 weeks.
Juxrev is proper fun. It's
It
proper
is
fun.
fun. It is fun.
But like, I don't know if if you start to listen to like the Pasta Gangs when I'm on, there's just like, I just do the same like three things now. I've just like given up on doing anything new. I'm like, my heart says to do the same three things, you know?
I do tend to just add like a Jersey beat because it's very like
But
very distinct.
I kind of love that people have their own signature moves. I think Felix
That's
calls it signature moves, you know?
a really cool way to call it. Yeah, signature move.
Like, he has a whole bunch. Like, if you ever hear a "Doo!", that's like him. Or like a Jostro, I noticed in the birthday stream, Jostro was always doing like doo, 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 like just and then just riff like riffing on that and playing with this stuff anyway.
Really, this is really cool. Where do you think is going to be the next biggest place that Pascal can play? This is my last question for the night.
Okay, the next biggest place. Okay, well, like, I have dreams for a multi-venue event. So, like,
Oh, that's cool.
two in-person Alga Raves happening at the same time. I think that would
That
be
would
really
be
cool.
wild. That would be so cool.
That would be fun.
I heard one time there's this band who my friend supported, and they tried to do a 24-hour, I think it was 24-hour. Oh no, or it might have been the most amount of gigs in a day, in a
Oh
single
my
day.
God. Oh my
And
God. That's
they did
crazy.
like a whole tour of the UK, doing like a gig in every like city, and was wild.
That's
But I also feel like Pasta Gang, full day long set in
Oh.
every single
Oh
country.
shit. 'Cause there was one day where it was like 3 gigs in one day. There was one time where we almost overlapped. Like we just missed it by like 1 hour. There was also a time where we had two London events both jamming at the same time.
Nice.
But it wasn't like a performance, it was just like two meetups with, and you know, like Pasta Gangers couldn't decide which one to go to, so they went to both and then jammed.
Sick.
But something like that. I think that's a good final question.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's all in my handy little notebook.
Nice, nice,
Yeah.
nice. Well,
Cool.
thank you very much. I
Thank
think
you. Thanks for having me on the Pasta Gang podcast.
no, thank you for having me on the Pasta Gang podcast.
Yeah, thank you,
You
Pasta
know,
Gang, for having both of us on the
yeah, thank you.
Pasta
Thank you. Thank you, listener, for having us on
Gang podcast.
it. And I'm gonna stop recording you, and then I'm gonna stop recording me.